Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24, and I'll begin reading in the very first verse. Luke chapter number 24 and verse 1. Can y'all hear me all right out there? Okay. I'm having trouble. I can't hear myself up here. I think my voice will carry well enough, but Brother Vic says yes. All right, Luke chapter number 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, or tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice the word in verse 4, the Bible says, "It came to pass as they were much perplexed," if you like to circle that word, perplexed. And then in verse 12, the Bible says that Peter ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself, wondering. And you circle that word, wondering, and perplexed and wondering. And I'd like to preach this morning on that subject, perplexed and wondering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you've done. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And Lord, thank you for rising again on the third day. And Lord, I pray that if there is one here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, I pray that Lord, help me to only say the things that you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you'll keep the things that shouldn't be said out. And Lord, I pray that you'll lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, that you'll get all the honor and glory. And speak to the hearts of these people. In Jesus' name, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin, the payment for that sin, the debt that's owed for that sin, is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all of that was made possible because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did this morning. Amen. What we're celebrating. We celebrate it every Sunday. We meet on the first day of the week on Sunday mornings because Jesus rose on the first day. And that's why we all meet here on Sunday mornings. And today is a little bit more special, though. And we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter number 24, these women went to the tomb. And the Bible says that the women were perplexed, and Peter was wondering, perplexed and wondering. And we're going to find out some things this morning. They looked at that empty tomb, and you have to remember their friend had just died, their master, their teacher, but their friend had just died. And this was very early in the morning, and they got there and saw all of these things, and they were perplexed. They were at a loss. They didn't know what they were seeing. They didn't know what was going on. And we'll find some things out. You know, a lot of people look at the empty tomb and they're perplexed and wondering, you know. They see that empty tomb and they don't know what's going on. They wonder all about it. Some would have us believe that Jesus is just a man, and that he married Mary Magdalene, and that he never did rise up again from the grave. And they found a box full of his bones, you know, his bones and Mary Magdalene's bones, and, you know, certain people try to get us to believe that. And maybe some of you here believe that. Maybe some of you here believe that Jesus never did rise again. And you look at that empty tomb and you just can't figure it out. And you're perplexed and you're wondering. Well, you've come to the right place. Because we're going to learn some things. We're going to find out some things about that empty tomb this morning. And all truth is God's truth. And he wrote it down in a book called the Bible. And the Bible says, "Why seek ye the living here among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." The Bible says he's risen. And so you may be perplexed and wondering this morning, just like those women and just like Peter, the day started out a little bit foggy for them, but it all cleared up a little bit later on. And I hope it clears up for you this morning. And we're going to take a trip back to that empty tomb. And when we get back there, we're going to find out some things. And we're going to find some things. The first thing we'll find is the rolled stone. The rolled stone. Look back at Luke chapter 23, just a few verses back. The Bible says in verse 55, Luke 23, verse 55, "And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher," or the tomb. "And they beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." And then verse 1 in chapter 24, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." You see, when Jesus was crucified, it was on a high holy Sabbath, on a high holy Sabbath day. And I'm not going to get into the debate this morning on what day Jesus was crucified, because that's really not the point to this message. But the point is, he was crucified right before a high holy Sabbath. And whether it was a high holy Sabbath or just a regular old Sabbath, he had to get buried before sundown because they weren't allowed to do any more work. And so when 6 o'clock came, he had to be in the grave. He had to be buried. And so they didn't have time to prepare the body like they would like to. But these women followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus when they took the body down off the cross, and they carried him to this borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They followed him to find out just exactly where he was buried. And they wanted to be sure they could get back to where it was. That way they could prepare his body for burial and take those spices. And by the way, these spices were very expensive. They didn't just spend a very little amount of money on this. They went all out. And some of these spices would have cost them a whole year's worth of wages. And they went out and they spent all this money just so they could anoint the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. And so when they got there, that's what they were looking for. They were looking for a burial, but they found a rolled stone. And they didn't know what was going on. They went there to anoint his body for burial. And Matthew Henry, one of the commentators, says that it was like us putting flowers on a grave. And we go and we visit the graveside of whomever, and we bring flowers, put flowers next to their tombstone. And that's kind of what these women were doing. And here's what they described these spices as: the mixed and pulverized myrrh and aloes, shaken into the folds, and the entire body thus swathed, wrapped in an outer covering of clean linen cloth. So you wrap up a body like that, and you get all that spices and all that mixture into all the folds of the body and all over the place. You're not expecting that body to get up anytime soon. You with me? I mean, they expected to find Jesus dead in that tomb. And they went for the burial. And they went for the body. But they couldn't anoint the body for burial because there was no body there. The tomb was empty. And they found that rolled stone. And they thought his body was stolen. The Bible says in John chapter number 20. In John chapter 20, the Bible says, in verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping." So she's there at the tomb weeping. "And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And we'll stop reading right there, but notice in verse 13, she said, They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him, where they have laid him. She thought somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. She didn't think he rose from the dead. She went there to bury him. She went there to anoint his body for the burial. And he wasn't there. So the only scenario she could come up with, and all these women got together, and the only scenario they could think of is, well, somebody stole him. The Romans came and stole him, or maybe those Pharisees stole him, and it's some plot to get back at the Christians and get back at the followers of Jesus. Got to be something. It can't be that he rose from the dead. They didn't even think of that. They didn't even think of it. Couldn't even get their mind around the fact. The only thing that they could think of is somebody had to steal him. Somebody has desecrated the grave of our friend. I remember going to the cemetery with my dad, going to visit the graves of family members that had passed away. I don't know why I went into all that detail. You kind of know that they'd passed away if I was in a cemetery. But we went to the cemetery, and while we were walking, I would, you know, if there's a tombstone there, I'd just walk all over the place, you know, it didn't matter. My dad said, hey, wait, walk in between them. And we know their bodies, it's just their bodies, and they're not there. But out of respect for whoever was buried there, my dad told me to walk between the gravestones, tombstones, so you're not walking all over the bodies, just out of respect. And these people, the women, thought somebody had desecrated the tomb and disrespected the tomb of their friend. And all they could think of is somebody had to have stolen him. And if they had stopped right there, that's all they would have learned. That's all they would have found. And they never would have found out anything else. If they had just stopped and looked at that empty tomb and said, well, somebody stole him. Great. Let's go back and call the police or whatever. You know, if they had done that, that's all they would have found. But look back in Luke 24, in verse 3, the Bible said, And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. They entered in. Many people stop right there. They stop right at the empty tomb. And they say, there is no way that Jesus rose from the grave. Somebody stole him. They've hid his bones somewhere else. And you know the people. I don't have to tell you who they are. But they say, oh, well, we found a box full of his bones. And, oh, he married Mary Magdalene. And there's some big sinister plot going on behind the scenes. And you talk to people all the time that believe that. The Bible says he rose. But they can't get past that. They can't get past the empty tomb. But it's because they don't go any further. They don't enter in. They don't enter in. We've got to enter into that empty tomb. And when we enter in, we're going to find some more. Not only will we find the rolled stone, but we'll find the remembered sayings. The remembered sayings. The Bible says, They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these two men in shining garments said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered. So they found remembered sayings. And these messengers were standing there. And the Bible says here in Luke 24 that they were wearing shining garments. And we read in John 20 they were wearing white garments. The Bible also says that in Matthew 28, verse 3. And the whiteness of their clothing, the whiteness speaks of purity. And the shining garments speaks of the brightness of His glory and the glory of heaven. And so there's no doubt that these messengers were from heaven. No doubt they were from heaven. And they had a question. Why are you seeking the living here among the dead? And that's what we ought to ask the people who say that Jesus died and didn't rise again. What are you looking for him in the empty tomb for? He's not there. He's not in the empty tomb anymore. He is risen, just like he said. Remember? Don't you remember? And these angels were trying to get these women to remember. And they brought him a message. Not only the messengers, but they brought a message from heaven. And they said, He is risen, just like He said He would. Look at, back in your Bibles, just a couple of books back into Matthew, chapter number 17, the first book in the New Testament. If you're in Luke, take a left. And when you see the words New Testament, you've gone too far. And when you see Malachi, you've really gone too far. But Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter number 17, verse 22. He said in Luke, they said, remember, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So, back in Matthew 17, verse 22, he says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And then in Mark, chapter number 9, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. So two times here in Matthew and in Mark, he says the same thing. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after he's killed, he shall rise the third day. And these angels remind them of that message right here in Luke 24. Don't you remember? He said he would. He said he would rise from the grave. Nobody stole his body. He's risen. Nobody hid his body somewhere else. He's risen. He's not just a man. He's the Son of God, and the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And when he's delivered into the hands of sinful men, they're going to kill him. And when they kill him, he's going to die. And you're going to find that he's buried in this tomb. But then he rose again on the third day. And the Bible says that he is risen. He's risen. And they said, why are you seeking the living here among the dead? And they were reminded of this. But when we look at these remembered sayings, we have to ask some questions. These beg questions. He said, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Right? He said that. He said that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Why was he delivered into the hands of sinful men? Why did he die? I mean, that begs the question. Jesus said, I'm going to die. Okay, why? I mean, you're 33 years old, you've just been walking around healing people. That's all you've been doing, and helping people. Why do you have to die? Well, he had to die for our sins. For our sins. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us because we're sinners. We're sinners. I mean, whether we've done one little white lie or whether we've done some, major, crazy, really bad thing over here, it doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on, we've all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus died for that sin. For that sin right there. Whatever sin you've committed, he died for it. We've all sinned. Let's go back through the list of the Ten Commandments that we can remember and think of them. Most of us think of thou shalt not kill, and I don't think anybody in this room has killed anybody. I don't think. You good? Okay. And then we think of, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's another one. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have lied? Well, all right, I'll just tell you I have. We all have. I remember one time we lived in our old house over in Seminole Heights. I went next door and I wanted to get big and strong, I'm sucking it in. Wanted to get big. And the man next door had a bunch of window weights. Remember when the windows, some of you old people, remember when the windows had the weights in them, Look at Brother Mickey every time I say that. Remember, they had those. And he had a big stack of them, and they were heavy for my skinny arms, And I went over there, and I picked them up, and I stole a bunch of them. Uh-oh, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I stole something. And I brought them back home, and I got caught. And Mom's looking at me like I should know what I'm talking about. I remember, because I had to go next door and take them back to the guy. I'm sorry. His name was Woody. I'm sorry, Mr. Woody. Woody Wood. Sorry, Mr. Wood. I stole your window weights because I wanted to get big. He probably would have let me have them if I just asked him, you know. But I got in trouble for it. I sinned because I stole and I lied about it. I'm not going to go through anymore. I could spend all day telling you about times I got in trouble that my mom and dad are just now finding out. Like the time I took the gas tank off the lawnmower. Y'all all know about that. I took the gas tank off the lawnmower and poured the gas out in the backyard because I didn't want to mow the yard. Dad, I don't know. It's out of gas. But I just got gas yesterday. I said, well, it's not there. I don't know, Dad. And 2 or 3 years ago, I was preaching, and I told that story, and my mom said, I didn't know that. Yes. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus died for those sins. As funny as they are now, they were sins. And because I did them, I needed a Savior. And we've all done something. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Whether they be past, present, or future, they were all future when Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins. Whether it be stealing window weights, you can tell I had to take them back because I'm still not really strong. Whether it be stealing window weights or lying about a lawnmower, or whether it be something more, Jesus died for all of those sins. Doesn't matter what it is. I heard a story. I just heard the story recently, but this happened 20 or 30 years ago in another state, and two young girls were out playing on some railroad tracks. And you may have heard the story, I don't know, but this happened, like I said, 20 or 30 years ago. And they were out playing on some railroad tracks on a bridge. And they had their little dolls out, you know, playing. And then they heard the sound of the train coming, could feel the track start to vibrate. And they jumped up and started to run off the bridge. And one little girl's little shoe got caught on the railroad track, and she couldn't get loose. The other little girl was long gone, about to jump onto the grass right next to the tracks off of the bridge, jumped to safety. And she looked back and saw her friend trying to get loose, screaming, help, help! And that little girl ran back on the tracks and got to her friends, and they wrapped their arms around each other, and the train hit them, and they both died. And the news report said that one little girl was held to the tracks by a shoe, but the other little girl was held to the tracks by love. And Jesus wasn't held to the cross by nails. He was held to the cross by his love for me and his love for you. He wasn't held to the tracks, or he wasn't held to the cross by nails. Those soldiers didn't hold him there. No, his love for us held him to that cross. And he died on the cross for our sins. But the angel said, why seek ye the living here among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Just like he said, he's risen. He is risen. And these women heard that. And it clicked. They remembered the sayings. Not only did they find the rolled stone, but they entered in and they went a little bit further. And they found remembered sayings. And not only did they find those remembered sayings, but number three, they found the risen Savior. They found the risen Savior. And they walked in and they heard the story, heard the remembered sayings from those angels. And they started thinking back. The stone was rolled away. And there was no body there. Nobody for us to get ready for burial. And they saw these angels in this borrowed tomb. That's kind of weird. I mean, you know, they didn't know. They saw that. Perplexed, wondering, but now it clicks. I remember he said that this would happen. He rose from the grave. But why is it important? We know why it's important that he died on the cross, because he died on the cross for our sins, because he loves us. But it's important that he rose from the grave, because that shows that God was satisfied with the sacrifice. God was satisfied with Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, to cleanse our sins. He died for our sins, not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. And when God saw that sacrifice, God says, it's good. And it pleased the Lord, the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he was satisfied with that sacrifice, and Jesus rose from the grave. That's why it's important. If Jesus had died and never risen from the grave, we wouldn't have victory over death and hell and sin. We wouldn't have victory. We wouldn't have eternal life if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. If God wasn't satisfied, Jesus wouldn't have risen from the grave. And if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then we're yet in our sins. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 2. "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles." This is Paul, the apostle. He says, "I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me," or which was with me. "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Look at it. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. I'm just talking up here for nothing. Worthless. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead. If Christ be not raised, then you're yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Christ be not raised, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And if Christ be not raised, then we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the grave. You see, they didn't just find a rolled stone, and they didn't just find some remembered sayings. They didn't just get reminded of something that Jesus said a few weeks or days before. No, they found the risen Savior. And if Christ isn't risen, then our faith is vain, and this is worthless. If Christ isn't risen, then we're yet in our sins. If Christ isn't risen, I'll never see my Nana and my granddaddy again. I'll never see my grandma and my grandpa again. I'll never see my Aunt Margie. I wish you could have known her. She was funny. She was funny. I could tell you stories about that. But, you know, if I'd never see her again. And we would never see we would never see Miss Pierce again. You know, you'd never see Brother Bill. You know, if Christ be not raised, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Now he's risen from the dead. And some people look at that empty tomb and they say, what is going on? You know, and they scratch their head and they pull their hair out. And they don't, what is, I just can't get my mind around the fact that they say Jesus rose from the dead. He had to be stolen. They had to have hidden his bones someplace else. And they put him in a box. And Mary Magdalene's there and some kids' bones and everything. And it's over there. And they even labeled it Jesus just so we'd know who it is. You know, they found that we saw the documentary not too long ago, you know, on TV about it. Oh, but they can't get our minds around that stuff. But wait a minute. You got to go past the empty tomb. You got to go past the rolled stone, and you've got to go in and you got to remember what Jesus said. And he said, I'm going to die on the cross for your sins because I love you, and I'm going to raise again on the third day. And when you do, you'll find the risen Savior. You'll find the risen Savior at the end of that. But look back in Luke 24. The Bible says in Luke 24, verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The disciples believed them not. These women came and they told them all that had just happened. And they said, you're not going to believe this. We got to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and we went inside, and there were some men inside, and they were angels, and they told us that Jesus isn't here. And they said, what are you seeking him here for? He's not here. He's risen from the grave. And they said, but then this happened. I mean, you know, you can imagine. You know, I mean, when I get excited, I talk really fast. And they were excited. And I'm just sure they just zipped right through the story. You're not going to believe it. You got to come and see. But some of the disciples said, wait a minute. You're talking crazy. You know, maybe they said these were impressionable women and they saw some imaginary witnesses and now they've just got a bunch of idle words. I don't know. They're just talking crazy. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. But Peter said, wait a minute. I got to see for myself. And he ran. The Bible says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. And stooping down, he looked down, looked inside, and he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves. Now, if you get buried and you're wrapped in linen clothes, if you're still dead, the linen clothes won't be laying on the floor by themselves. You'll be with them. And when he looked down inside, he saw linen clothes laying by themselves. Laying by themselves. And he walked away scratching his head wondering. Just like the women before. He had to see it for himself. And you come to the empty tomb, and we've shown you this morning the rolled stone, and you've seen the remembered sayings, and seen how Jesus said that he was going to die on the cross, that he was going to rise again on the third day. And you've seen the risen Savior. At least we've told you about him. But you have to see for yourself. You have to see for yourself. There's an old preacher named R.G. Lee, and he's dead now in heaven. He used to pastor the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, long time ago. And he had never been to Israel, to the Holy Land. And I've been preaching for years, never been to Israel. And I don't know if he was able to save up the money or if somebody in the church paid his way or whatever, but he and his wife went to Israel. And all along the trip, you know, everybody had been talking about how R.G. Lee, Dr. Lee, they called him. Dr. Lee's never been here. Dr. Lee's never been to Israel. And they got to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, the hill where Jesus died, where they say that this is where the cross was, and Jesus died on that cross. And the guide of their group said, raise your hand, how many of you guys have been here before? And Dr. Lee raised his hand. Well, wait a minute, Dr. Lee, you said you've never been to Israel. He said, I've never been to Israel, but I've been here. I've been here. And I want to tell you, I've never been to Israel. I've never seen physically with my own eyes the borrowed tomb. I've never seen the streets through the city. I've never seen any of those things, but I've been here. I've been to Calvary, and I wasn't there when he died, and I wasn't there when he rose again, but I talked to him this morning. I know he's alive. I've seen it for myself, you know. I've never been there physically, but I've been to Calvary. I've been there. And you're going to have to see for yourself. You're going to have to see it for yourself. Otherwise, you'll spend the rest of your life perplexed and wondering. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. And Lord, thank you that you are risen from the grave. Lord, thank you that you've promised us eternal life if we'll trust you. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this time of invitation, and to God, I pray that you'll take this message and seal it to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you've spoken to hearts this morning. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray that they'll come down this aisle and talk to one of us and let us show them how they can be saved, so they won't wonder anymore about where they'll spend eternity. And Lord, I pray that they'll be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me? I promise I won't embarrass you. I promise I won't. But I want to ask a couple of questions. If you will just give a testimony of the fact that you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, and that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. Will you raise your hand if you know for sure that you'll spend eternity in heaven? You raise your hand just by testimony. Thank you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around. And I promise I won't embarrass you, but if you weren't able to raise your hand, if you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior and that you'll spend eternity forever in heaven when you die, will you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. If you're not sure, I just want to pray for you. I want you to know that the altar is open, and I'll meet you there, and I'll take the Bible, and I'll explain how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. And we'll show you everything that the Bible says about it, and you won't have to walk out of here perplexed and wondering anymore. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And what hymn are we going to sing, Brother Paul?
167.
We're going to sing hymn 167, but first let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the message. And Lord, now I pray that you'll take this invitation and have your will and your way in it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you